Okay. So we are going to discuss a little bit tonight about Birchos Kriyat Shema. Last week we spoke about the halachos of interruptions of hefsek during Birchos Kriyat Shema. When can you interrupt? Which things can you not interrupt for? What points can you and can you not? So tonight we'll, and we went through some of the first parts of the first bracha of Yotzer Or of Echoshech and Kedusha. We went through that a little bit in the davening. So now, tonight we'll go through the next one or two aspects of halacha related to the first part of the Birchos Kriyat Shema, and then we'll go through maybe one more section of the Birchos Kriyat Shema of the Tefillah, probably Avar Rabba. Okay, so first here, you can have this. Okay, so if you look at Siman Nuntes, we're going to talk about one or two points right now. I think we mentioned the first sif, I think we read already last week. I don't think we're going to go through it again. He mentions that you're supposed to talk about both day and night in the daytime. I think we mentioned this, right? So that people that say that the God who created the night, the light, and the God who created the darkness should not be two different things, God forbid. Chas v'shalom. I think we mentioned that last time. So we mentioned both. Yotzer Or v'Ari Choshech. So now, let's do the following. The next big halachic topic here, it's in Sif Gimel. Okay. The question here has to do with the Kedusha. We mentioned this last time in terms of the Be'er Tefillah. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot, Melech HaLaretz Kvodo. So we know that this is not the Kedusha that we say during Shemona Esrei, but yet, nevertheless, it's the same words, okay, the same pasuk of Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod Hashem Yom Kamo. So there's a question. We know for Shemona Esrei, when you say Chazar HaSashat and you say Kedusha, how many people do you need to be there in order to say Kedusha with those words? Not a trick question. It's a simple one. 10, right? Okay, good. You need to have 10 to say Kedusha. The question is, do you need to have 10 when you say Kedusha here in Yotzer Or, in the Birchos Kriyat Shema? And if not, what's the difference? So, if you take a look here in Siv Gimel, let's see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say about this. All right, Siman Nuntes, Siv Gimel. He says the following. This is all based on the Rishonim, by the way. Okay, Rishonim and Brachos. Yesh Omrim Sha Kedusha Shav Yotzer Yachid Omra. Some people say that the Kedusha and Yotzer Or, meaning in the Birchos Kriyat Shema, that an individual, not part of a minyan, can say it. Why? He says, Lefi she'eino ela sipur dvarim. So this we already, I think we alluded to this last week already. Okay, because it's only sipur dvarim. You know what sipur dvarim means? L'saper dvarim, sipur. Tell a story. We're telling words. Okay, we're relating words. We're relating a story. What do you think? What does that mean? We're relating a story. So think about what we mentioned last time. Who are we mimicking here? Who are we quoting in this Kedusha? Remember who I told you this last week? I don't know if you remember. Is that very good? Okay, I mentioned the Malachim. Okay, the Malachim are the ones that we said, and the Malachim, the angels up in Shemayim, are the ones that are taking upon themselves the yoke of heaven. And we are sort of repeating what they do. Okay? And when we say Kadosh, 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 if you remember, we said that what we're doing here also is we are basically saying what the angels say. The angels say Kadosh, 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 then we say Ve'ofanim, V'chayos, HaKodesh, that this, the Ofanim, again, different kinds of angels. There are the Ofanim, there's the Chayos, there's the Seraphim, whatever the difference is between them. Okay? They basically then say Baruch Kvod Hashem Yom Kamo. So we're saying what the angels say. So according to that, what is the Shulchan Aruch saying here? Why don't you need a minyan for this? Because what are we doing? All we're doing is Sipur Dvarim, right? All we're doing is saying what? Yeah, we're retelling what they said. It's not our Kedusha, it's their Kedusha. And this is how we ended off last week, I believe. Okay, that's what I was telling you. That's the big difference between the Kedusha of Birchos Kriyat Shema, where we are basically just saying what they said, and the Kedusha of Shemona Esrei, where we are saying it ourselves. So here you actually see that reflected, at least according to this opinion, okay, in the halacha, that we're only telling over what they say, therefore you don't have to have a minyan. You're just repeating what the angels say. Good. And then he continues, V'yesh omrim, and others say, Sheyachad midalga, that an individual by himself without a minyan skips it. He doesn't say it. Ve'eru nemeres ela b'tzibur, and doesn't say it unless you have a minyan. Okay. So, anybody know what the halacha is before we read the next line?
You make art scroll.
So what is the halacha according to the art scroll? According to what we do?
Still say Kadosh.
Still say Kadosh. Okay, good. So look what the Shulchan Aruch concludes here. Okay, very, very interesting. Not what you would have thought, unless you know this halacha already. Okay, he doesn't say that you don't say it when you're by yourself. But what he does say is a yesh lachush ledivrehem. Okay, and one should be concerned, not concerned, one should be choshesh, meaning should be machmir. You should take into account, into consideration, their words, which opinion, we'll see in a minute. V'lizaher, and be careful, sheyachid yomrena benigun v'tamim kikori b'torah. That an individual, a yachid, should say it with a nigun, okay? Uta'amin kekori b'Torah, like he's reading in the Torah. What do you think he's saying here? Do you understand what he's trying to get at?
In order to be telling a story, you have to do it as a story was written.
Ah, okay. Meaning what? Meaning if you are saying it by yourself without a minyan, then we should be machmir, like the opinion that says that you shouldn't say it unless you have a minyan, by basically making sure that when you do say it, even if it's by yourself, you say it as if you're telling a story. How do you do that with psukim of Tanakh? You do that by using the trap, by using the tamim. So instead of just reading kadosh, kadosh, kadosh according to this, you would have to know how to read it with the trap. Now, you may not know how to do that, but I can tell you, if you look at the trap there, it's in Navi, so you'd read it the same way as Navi. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakot, Balochal Haaretz Kivodoho. That's how you'd have to read it according to the Shulchan Aruch.
If you're by yourself.
If you're by yourself, correct. Not with a minyan. But if you're by yourself, it's not really telling a story unless you're basically, unless you're reading it the same way you would read it in the Torah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch concludes here. Okay? Very, very interesting. All right? However, comes along in the Ramah, in the Haggah here, the next line, Haggah, he says, Ukvar Pashat Amina Kisvar Rishona. But the custom has already developed to be like the first opinion. Okay? Meaning that you're allowed to tell, you're allowed to say it without any problem. Okay? And therefore, the Ramah says, Yachid Omer Osa, an individual can say it by himself. Okay? Ukishon and Kedusha, Zos, Omer Osa, Bekol Ram. Okay? And when you say it with a tzibur, and you respond to the chazus, then you say it out loud. Okay? I mean, if you're by yourself, you wouldn't necessarily have to say it out loud. But if you're with a tzibur, you should say it out loud. And that's what we generally do. Okay? So that's what the Ramah paskins here. The Mishnah Berurah adds in one point. Okay? He adds in here in Sif Katan Yud Aleph. He points out the Ver Hagra Hiskim Halacha B'Diar Achrona. Okay, the Vilna Gaon, the Ver Hagra, seems to have agreed with the second opinion that you should not say it by yourself, unless you're reading it with a trump. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says Lofish Ein Lazuz Mi Aminag. So even since you shouldn't deviate from the Minag, meaning Aminag is very, very strong, especially here when the Ramah says everybody follows it. So you shouldn't deviate from the minhag. However, because the Vilna Gaon said you should follow the first opinion, and it's still a machlokas, Mishnah Berurah says Nachon lehadir im Omer Rabbi Yachid la lemor lomar benigun v'tamim. Okay, it's appropriate to be mahadir, meaning to be machmir, if you're by yourself to say it with the tamim kikori b'torah. Okay, now, he's not saying you have to say it the way like the Shulchan Aruch said. He's saying the Mishnah Berurah is saying it's a good idea. If you're by yourself, it's a nice idea to be machmir to say it with a tamim. Okay, if you daven by yourself. Okay, so that's basically the halacha according to the Mishnah Berurah, and that's what's usually quoted in the Sfarim as well. If you're by yourself for this kedusha, it's appropriate if you're able to say it with the tamim. Okay, and then the second pasuk after Baruch Hashem, you come up Baruch Kvod Hashem, you come up, same thing. Okay, so that's the interesting halacha here in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah. I did not happen to check what the Sfaradim holds here. If the Sfaradim holds straight like the Shulchan Aruch, or they hold like the Ramah. In terms of what you have to say it with a tamim if you're saying about it. I didn't check. They don't know offhand. I'll check afterwards. Okay. That's the story. Any questions on that before we go to the next one?
I think we had a place. So is everything we just learned the same thing in Baal Tzion?
Oh, great question. So they talk about that. I don't think it's here. I believe that it's in Sion Kuf Lamed Aleph, if I remember correctly. So there... I think it's in Kuf Lamed Aleph. So there the Ramah says, if I remember correctly, the Ramah says that that you should try to say it with a tzibur, okay, meaning if you're with a minyan, or you should try to say it with a tzibur, with a minyan together, but I think there they say that it's different. I mean, there because it's, I forgot the reason why, but there they say that if you're not doing it, if you're by yourself, then even according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah there doesn't mention that you have, it's good to go ahead and try to, you know, say it with the tamim. And I think the Shulchan Aruch there also doesn't say you have to say it with the tamim. Okay, the reason why, I'll have to get to that part of davening and analyze that more. I think it has to do with the fact that there also it's not related to based on what the angels say. It's a separate idea, and there you have to understand why are we saying it there in the first place. Okay, it's based on a different Gemara in Sota, which we haven't gotten to. So maybe when we learn that, we'll try to figure out why that would be different. But halacha l'maaseh, that's what they say. Okay, you don't have to say it with the tamim there in Uval Etzion. Another interesting point here, as opposed to the kedusha of Shmona Esrei, where we say it, what's our posture when we say it? We are standing up, right? Here, as we know already, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Tzif Katan Yud Bet, He says, "Ukshaonin Mishnah Berurah Kedusha Zuim Efshar Tov Lomar Miyushav." If you're able, he should say it sitting down. Okay, meaning here.
How strong is that? If you are able.
So basically, what it means. Again, this is part of the Birchos Kriyashma, and again, you're parroting the Malachim. It seems like it's supposed to be. You know, it's not. It's Dafka not supposed to be standing up here. So. It's a machlokas on the Achron how strong it really is. It seems that the Be'er Heitzev here quotes both opinions, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to be basically saying that it's a machlokas. So some say that if you're already standing up, maybe you don't have to sit down, but because some people say that you dafka have to sit down, so it's better to sit down. Meaning basically, if you have a seat, you should sit down. Okay, but if you don't have a seat, if you're standing in one of the minyanim, you know, where you're somewhere else, not in a regular shul, and there's no seats, you know, then you don't have to go out of your way to sit down on the floor. Okay, you can continue standing, probably. Okay. Again, why that is, so it's the Magen Avraham talks about it a little bit, and the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't really go through it here. But again, it basically has to do with the fact that it's not really us, okay, meaning that it's we're saying what the angels say, and because we're not, it's not part of our Kedusha on its own, so there's no really specific hakpada why you have to stand, and therefore, he says during Birchos Kriyashma, there are other reasons why maybe it's better to sit. It's better for your kavana. It's more kavua. Whatever the idea is. Okay. All right. So that's the story with that. Okay. Next, let's go to Siv Dalad. Right. Next point. So here, the first line actually is interesting, which we'll read, but it's not. It may not necessarily be 100% relevant. It says here. Birchos Yotzer va'arvis Omer imashliach tzibur benachas. Okay, the bracha of Yotzer or in Mariv as well in Shacharis, you should say it together with the shliach tzibur benachas. Which here nachas doesn't mean slowly, it actually means quietly. It means you should read it quietly so you can hear the shliach tzibur. So here is a whole different story which we're not going to get into now. Basically, what they used to do often at that time, there were many people that actually were Yotzer the brachas together with the chazan. So therefore, at that time, they said that if you're saying it yourself, you should say it quietly so that anybody that wants to be yotze with the chazan can hear him. If you're too loud, then you can't hear the chazan, who's being able to see everybody else. But today, the Mishnah Berurah points this out somewhere in here. He says, today, you don't really have to worry about it. Yeah, he says at the end of Yisiv Katan Yudalad, he says, today, hayom einu agin lizar lo medavko benachas. Okay, you don't have to be careful to do that. You can say it louder than the chazan, and the reason why, as the Be'er Halacha explains here, is because of the fact that we're not really, the chazan today is not really being mosi anybody. Okay, everybody's saying it basically on their own. And again, it makes sense today also, because even if you would say you could be yotze with the chazan, but it's hard to concentrate. You got to really concentrate to every single word that he's saying, and that's already not so easy for us.
You have to be in step with him
too. Also true. Yeah, correct. So anyway, so that part we don't really keep. However, the second part here, the next line in the Ramah, actually is very important. Okay, we'll read this and then the part afterwards. Let's see. We'll just read the first line. I'm not going to read the rest of it. The first line is "V'yom v'yamar l'saim kodem she'saim hashatz." You should try to finish your bracha before the shliach tzibur finishes his bracha. Meaning for the first bracha of Yotzer HaMo'orot, and maybe even for the other brachas of Pesukah DeZimra as well, it's better for you to finish your bracha before the Shliach Tzibur, so then afterwards you can say Amen. That's what he says. Okay? Which is nice. So it's a little better to finish not exactly at the same time, because then you can't really say Amen, because you're also saying Amen to your own bracha, which the halacha is that you're not allowed to do in most cases. But you should say it earlier. And then here comes the big exception. Okay, take a look now. Skip to the next line in the Shulchan Aruch, which is basically the end of Siv Dalad, where he says here, "V'lo ya'ane amen achar siyum abocher b'mo Yisrael bi'ahava." Okay, the question is, what is the status of the second bracha of Birchas Kriyashma? The first bracha is, you know, Yotzer hama'orot, the end of Lekel Baruch Yimot Ni'itenu, Yotzer hama'orot. That's the first bracha. What about the second bracha, which is at the end of Avarava? Okay, after Avarava, we say the whole paragraph of Avarava. We'll go through it in just a minute. At the end of that, what's the bracha? Ha-baruch atah Hashem ha-bocher b'amo Yisrael b'ahava. Okay, what comes next? Right after that comes Shema. So the question is, here also the same rules of apply about saying Amen and finishing before the chazan for ha-bocher b'amo Yisrael b'ahava, or is that possibly different? And if it's different, why would it be different? Can you guess what the reason might be why it might be different?
They wanted it to make the Shema into a bracha, so they wanted the bracha before to be part of the Shema.
Say Amen. Excellent. Okay, great. So that's basically part of the idea here. Again, it's not so clear exactly what status it has, but let's read it inside, and then we'll say out at least part of the idea of what Moshe is saying. The Shulchan says, "V'lo yane amen achar siyum habocher b'moishal b'yahava." You shouldn't say amen after habocher b'moishal b'yahava. Mishum dehave hefzik, because it's a hefzik. Meaning you want to have a direct connection between your bracha and kriyashma. And if you say amen in the middle, that's considered to be an interruption. That's a hefzik. Okay. So now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah here, who spells out a few points. In Sivkat on Chav Dalad, so the Mishnah Berurah says like this: Mishum dehave hefzik. Okay. He says, "Bein kriyashma lahabracha." It's a hefzik between kriyashma and the bracha before. Kimosha asr lahafzik bein kol davar mitzvah. Oh, hanash mivarchin lahabracha shalafanam. Just like when you say shakol niyod varo, you can't start interrupting before you have your drink or before you eat your snack, because the bracha goes on the food. There can't be an interruption between them. They're connected. He says here also. Okay. Here also, in a certain sense, the birchos kriyashma is considered to be like the bracha on shma. In a certain sense. Again, this is not so clear, and not everybody agrees with this understanding, but this is definitely one perspective on Birchos Kriyat Shema. It says, if we are saying, Hashem, you commanded us to say Shema, we don't say it exactly in that way, and that's a question why, which we're not going to get into now, but it's like, you know, sort of as if you're making a bracha on the Shema itself. HaBocher b'Moyisrael b'Ahava, that Hashem chose us, the Jewish people, with love. That's basically what Shema is. Shema is our responsibilities to God, and the bracha is saying Hashem chose us for this responsibility because He loves us. So, he says basically, based on that, that you should not say amen. And then he says here in the next line, va'ayin suman samach aleph. The parenthesis here says, look at suman samach aleph. What did it say there? So basically, the Mishnah Berurah here says in Sifkat and Chafei tells you what it says there. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. But basically, what he says is that there it says that for Abuchar Moshe B'Yahava, okay. The Shulchan Aruch there seems to say that maybe the custom is to finish before the chazan. You should say the bracha first. But the Ramah says maybe not. Okay. Meaning his idea is that it's not really the same thing as a bracha on kriyashma. I mean, according to that, the custom mentioned there, it's not really the same thing as a bracha of kriyashma. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say Asher Kiddushan Mitzvah Tzivan Likorot Hashma. It's a different idea. Okay. It's a different, separate bracha. Separate idea. Okay. However, okay, the Ramah says basically that, the Mishnah Berurah here says, no, it's not the wrong, it's the Mishnah Berurah. He says here that it's better to say it at the same time as the Shliach Tzibur. Okay? Meaning, because we are concerned that maybe this idea that maybe it is part of the Bracha on the Shema, this is what many of us do. We do try, L'chadchila at least, we try to say the Bracha of Abocher Moshav Yahavah at the same time as the Chazan. Mm. And then if you say it at the same time as the Chazan, you would not be required to say Amen. The same time as other cases, because we don't say amen to our own bracha. So even if he's saying the bracha the same time as you, you still don't say amen. That's what the Mishnah Berurah here says in Sifkat and Chafei. That's what's generally what you try to do. Okay. And some say again that you have to do that, like the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Ramah there does say, okay, that if you do end up not saying it at the same time as the Chazan, let's say that you were a minute late, and you are you finished your bracha, and then the chazan finishes his bracha, do you say amen in that case? So it seems like the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Ramah, that you should say amen. Meaning it's better to say it at the same time as the chazan, so you don't run into the problem. But if you end up saying it first, and you're waiting, okay, and then the chazan says his bracha, then you should say amen. That's basically what the Ramah says in the bottom line, in Siman Samach Aleph. That's what the Ramah here refers to, Siman Samach Aleph, and that seems to be the halacha. Okay, but it's better to avoid it, so just say it first. Again, some disagree. Some say that you should never say Amin. Okay, there are some opinions like that out there, even in the Ashkenazi Achronim. But it seems like Maker Adin, that many poskim say that you should say Amin if you got to that point, but try to avoid it. Okay, so again, part of that is based on this question of whether the bracha of Avarabba and the whole idea is a bracha on Kriyashma, is like Asher Kiddushan Mitzvot Tzivanu, or like, you know, is it a bracha on Shema, or is it a separate bracha, you know, thanking Hashem for giving us the Torah and whatever it is, which we'll get to in a second. In which case, it has no connection to Kriyashma, there's no problem with there's no problem with saying amen in between. Okay, any questions on that before we go move? Okay. Okay, so let's do that'll be our halacha for tonight. Let's take a couple minutes to look at the tefillah itself. I forgot to bring my sefer. I brought the wrong sefer. this one is the Chovas HaTalmidim. I meant to bring the Olas Tamid on the Siddur, and they look very similar, and I didn't look very carefully. I just pulled it out on the shelf. They were right near each other on my shelf, and I brought the wrong one. So I'll just get another Siddur. I'll just read through some of the stuff in the Siddur without his parish. Okay. So we'll just look at Ava Rabba for a little bit, in terms of what is special about Ava Rabba as the second bracha of Kriyat Shema. Again, the first bracha is Yotzer Orim Varech Hoshech, which goes all the way through Bekel Baruch Nilos Yitenu, and the bracha is Baruch Hashem Yotzer HaMeorot, okay, on the luminaries in the sky, the lights in the sky, which we talked about a little bit last week. So now if we look at Ava Rabba, so Ava Rabba has a different focus, okay? And the focus of Ava Rabba is not specifically something that's been elaborated on so far in davening. Okay, Pesuket Zimra, it's mentioned, you know, it's referenced a couple times in passing, but here it's really the focus, okay, of this paragraph of Ava Rabba. And the focus basically is on Hashem's special connection with us, and that connection as expressed by the Torah. Okay, so you take a look here, let's read through this a little bit. Okay, it's a very special tefillah. We're going to read through the Nesach Ashkenaz version. The Nesach Sfard version is actually a lot longer. They add in a lot more words in the Nesach Sfard version. So let's see what he says here. Ava Rabba Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, you have a great love that you have loved us, Hashem our God. Chemla Gedola V'Yisera Chamalta Aleinu. Okay, you've had a lot of chemla, of pity and of mercy on us, that you've given us. Okay, not just a little bit of mercy, but a lot. Gedola V'Yisera. Okay, a lot and excessive even. Avinu Malkeinu, okay, our father, our king, Bavur Avosenu, Shabbat Chuvacha, because of our forefathers who had bitachon, had trust in you. Vatzalandev Chukei Chaim, okay, you taught them the laws of life, the ways of life. Kein Techanenu Salamadenu, so too should you be, give us chen, should give us grace, be gracious to us, Usalamdenu, and teach us. Okay, we're davening to Hashem to ask him to teach us the Torah, basically, okay, and to be gracious with us. Avinu Avarachaman Hamrachem. Okay, our father, the father Harachaman, who is merciful, Hamrachem, who has mercy, Rachem Aleinu, okay, have mercy on us. And then again, not mercy in terms of like, you know, saving us from like a pogrom or whatever. In this case, we're asking him to have mercy. The same libeinu l'avinu l'haskil, to put in our hearts the ability to understand and to they translate l'haskil as elucidate. You could translate it as being seicha, as intellect, whatever it is. To hear, to learn, and to teach, to keep and to do, and to fulfill as kol divrei salamut harasecha bi'ahava, and to fill all the words of your Torah bi'ahava, with love. Okay? Okay? And you should enlighten our eyes with your Torah. Okay? And you should take basically our hearts and make our hearts attached to your mitzvos. Okay, and you should yachid, to unify our hearts, li'ava, to love, li'ira, and to fear your name. Okay, we shouldn't feel shame, embarrassment, lo'lam v'ed, forever. I mean, we shouldn't be embarrassed at what we're doing. We should be proud of it. Because we have trusted in your great and awesome name, we should exult, we should rejoice, and be happy in your salvation. So here, basically, again, this tefillah is very powerful here, okay? And this is not something we've had so far in davening, okay? The idea that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just for physical, not only praising Hashem for the physical world here, and not only praising Hashem for the spiritual, and not only asking Hashem for physical things or talking about the, you know, up in the sky, we're asking Hashem for spiritual requests here. Okay? This is the first time. Again, it comes again in Shmoneh Esrei in a little bit of a different form, but here is a specific focus on what connects us, especially Am Yisrael, Takadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, Hashem, please have mercy on us and basically teach us your Torah, allow us to learn your Torah, allow us to teach your Torah and to keep your mitzvos. Okay? And this is something, if you get it into your neshama, like in a powerful way, this is like a very, very, very strong thing here. Okay? If you are, you know, really want to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you want to do what Hashem wants of you, sometimes you can't do it. Sometimes it's just hard. And you fall. And you say, I couldn't fulfill this time. I couldn't have kavanah this time. I couldn't learn today. You know, I couldn't figure something out in my learning, whatever it was. You know, this is one opportunity in tefillah to take that those ideas and channel it towards asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you. Okay, it's very powerful. And if you really have kavana and, you know, beg Hashem at this point of davening for success in learning and in mitzvos or whatever, so there's a, you know, there's a special skula that, you know, Hashem, there's a good chance he'll give it to you. Okay, if you show Hashem that you really want it. Now again, there are some ideas out there that, you know, in general that spiritual needs are not things that Hashem can just give you. It's not like a gift that Hashem can give you. Like, you need to work at it, which is true that you need to work at it, and everybody agrees you need to work at it. But sometimes you need a little bit of a push. Even if you're working at it, you need just a little bit of an extra siyat d'shmai. You need a little bit of extra, you know, jump or a click or something like that. I mean, that's what this avarab, that's what this is. Okay, you know, that even for ruchnius things, you need to work at it yourself, and yet you still need Hashem to help you. And if you daven to Hashem that He should help you get what you want ruchnius wise, then He'll do that. So of course, there's a very nice song, you know, from a few songs that come from this paragraph of tefillah. You know, how's it go? Avinu Avarachem and Hamrachem Rachem Aleim. It's a very slow song. That's very, very beautiful. That, you know, if you ever have heard it before, you get yourself into the mood for this type of, you know, theme. It's a very, very nice song. And then, you know, Shlomo Karlbach has the Loni Voshti Olam Boed with the Nusach Sfar version. I think his song starts from. He goes backwards. I think it's key. He starts Kivashem Kod Shachag Adol V'Nerat Matachnu, and he goes back and sings V'lo Nevosh Di Olam Voed or something like that. I'm sorry, that's not true. He starts from Ha'arei Neinu B'Sar Asecha, but his is a fast version. Ha'arei Neinu B'Sar Asecha. Anyway, so you have songs. This is a very important part. You know, many of you have songs. You know already it's like an emotional it's an emotional piece. So this is something we can really, you know, think about this, concentrate on this. Right. Yeah, that's right. That's the Karlbach one.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. So you know you're dealing with something which is powerful. So that's that. And then the last part of the tefillah, that's right. Let's see, that's then he afterwards it says v'havien l'shol mirabakan v'osar. We move on to a slightly different theme here, which is very, very interesting. The connection between them, we have to think about it a little bit. That we ask Hashem to bring us back in peace from the four corners of the earth. V'solichin komiyut le'artzenu. You can lead us with. Komimiyut, okay, which was a very big theme in the, you know, 1948, lead us not with freedom only, but with pride, tartzenu, to our land, okay? This, of course, is a, you know, big tefillah basically for kibbutz goliyot. It's basically essentially a tefillah for continuing to do what's happening right now, that everybody's coming here to Israel. we're actually asking Hashem to bring us all. So you ask yourself, well, if we're asking Hashem to bring us, why don't we just come ourselves, right? Why doesn't everybody just come, right? That's a question, all right? Anyways, the people in Chutzpah will have to figure out the answer to that question. But again, we're asking davening to Hashem to help bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Again, maybe that means giving us the conditions that make it, you know, ripe for moving. But it's clear that we want to come, okay? In case we forget sometimes, it's right here in the tefillah that we say every single day, where we ask Hashem to bring us in pride, upright, to our lands, okay, not you know, begging for mercy or whatever, but we should be proud of what we have. And again, we see it happening, it's being fulfilled in our days, and we daven to Hashem every day that it should happen, more should happen, it should be increased, more people should come, and eventually it'll lead to the Mashiach. Amen. Then we move on, Kikel Poel Yeshuos Atah, because Hashem, you effect salvations. Now we're back to the theme we started with. Again, you chose us from all the different nations of the world and from all the different languages. The care of Tunnelishim Chag Losala B'Ames, you have brought us close to your great name, Bodot L'chol Yachidcha B'Yahava. Okay? To thank you, to offer thanks to you, Uli Achidcha, and to proclaim your singularity, your oneness, B'Yahava, with love. Baruch Hashem, the end of the second Baruch, HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Yahava, Hashem who chooses his people with love. Again, the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being one of love, and the special relationship that, you know, is exemplified by the Torah and by the mitzvos. And that, of course, moves us right into Shema, which we'll talk about next time, in terms of the responsibility of Shema, of declaring Hashem as being one and the only God, and the idea of accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, meaning the responsibility of saying that Hashem is the one God and we accept everything He says, and then the mitzvot to go with that, to accept the mitzvot, that all comes together with a special relationship that we talked about in Avarava here, of Hashem as being our Father and having mercy on us and wanting to learn the Torah. We'll just add in one last point here. You can understand now why there's a discussion. I don't know if we mentioned this. Actually, we didn't discuss Birkas HaTorah. There's a discussion about Birkas HaTorah. Let's say you missed Birkas HaTorah in the morning earlier. Can you fulfill your bracha of Birkas HaTorah, your obligation of Birkas HaTorah, during davening later? And the answer is maybe. Okay, some posts can say, it's mentioned in, I think, the Ramah, that maybe Ava Rabba can fulfill your mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. Why? Because it's exactly the same themes. Okay, some of the same themes we say in the bracha of Ava Rabba show up here as well. Some of the same things we say in Birkas HaTorah show up here in Avarabba as well. I think it's based on the Rishalmi. Tosfos quoted in the Gemara. A whole big discussion about it, but you can see, again, just in terms of the themes, you can understand now why there's a very strong connection between Avarabba and Birkas HaTorah and the themes of studying and understanding Hashem's Torah based on the way that we see the Torah. Anyway, so it should be Zocha to fulfill and to have fulfilled in us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the special connection of us to the Torah And learning Torah and to be to love it, not just to do it, but to want to do it, and to fulfill the mitzvot with love, and to develop that connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which where we try to do what he wants, and he tries to do what we want, and he gives us what we want in our ruchnias.